Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. The Word of God is our life because Jesus is the Word of God. Did I hear any amens? Amen. Hallelujah. Going to read from the middle of verse 8. In putting everything under him, under the Son of Man, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus. Now, we've called on his name in these last few weeks, bearing in mind what the Scripture says, that all who call upon his name will be saved, healed, released, set free, liberated. Now he wants us not just to call on his name, but to see Jesus. Now that doesn't mean just having experiences of seeing Jesus in vision. Sometimes God does that. But that's not what the Scripture is talking about in this context. We need to see Jesus as he is, not as he was. It's so easy for us to focus on Jesus in his humanity, and that's important because unless he came and shared our life, we could not be able to see him as he is now. But God's purpose is for us to see Jesus as he is, because we cannot meet with him as he was. We can only meet with him as he is. We can't meet with him in his humanity, but we can meet with him in his risen glory. Don't get too excited because it's bad for your heart. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels in his humanity, but now we see him crowned with glory and honor. Now, why was he crowned with glory and honor? Because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In the temple in Jerusalem, if we reduce it to a sort of simplest, there was the outer court, the place of praise. There was the holy place, which was the place of sacrifice, where the animals were sacrificed. And then there was the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest was able to enter into the Holy of Holies. And only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, taking an offering of blood, praying for the forgiveness of all the sins of the people, of the nation. We know that when Jesus died on the cross, the moment he died, the veil of the temple, the heavy curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, was torn asunder. To us, that's an event. To the Jews of the time, it would be an absolute scandal, because for as long as they could ever remember, that vision of the holy place was forbidden, was impossible, except for the high priest on the Day of Atonement. Suddenly, this Holy of Holies was exposed, and the way was therefore made clear by what Jesus was doing on the cross for all to be able to actually encounter God in the Holy of Holies. However, you couldn't get into the Holy of Holies without going through the holy place. And that had to be the case even for Jesus. He could not enter into not the Holy of Holies in the temple, but the Holy of Holies in heaven. He could not have returned into the Holy of Holies in heaven without going through the place of sacrifice. And it's not possible for anyone to follow him in the way that he has gone before us without going through that place of sacrifice, that place of death. Those of us that were here on Sunday morning, we had a smashing time. But you see, it was a very, very significant message that God was bringing us. Because just as Jesus had to go through death in order to enter into the Holy of Holies, so we too have to go through death, not our physical death, but being crucified with Christ. So Jesus has opened up the way for us. He has become both our high priest and our sacrifice. The high priest is the one offering the sacrifice, and Jesus is that high priest who needed only to make that single sacrifice that would be efficacious for all time and for all people. But he also had to become the sacrifice itself. If you like, he fulfilled those two roles. Now let's read on in Hebrews 2. We'll just read verse 9 again, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. God wants you to know him in his glory and honor, to encounter and experience him in his glory and honor, because you have tasted death. You have died to self in order to live the new, risen, glorified life of Jesus Christ. Now we'll see how this plays out as we read on. So he's now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. And of course, he took everyone to the cross, not just those who are redeemed, but every sinner of every generation. In bringing many sons to glory. Now, this is why Jesus sent, why the Father sent Jesus to go through this whole process. Remember, he created mankind to know his glory. But sin had robbed men of that glory. Because of their sinful nature, all had fallen short of the glory of God. So now God sends his Son to restore that glory, to make it possible for many sons to be brought to glory. But what we will see is this is not simply bringing us to glory after we have died physically, but bringing us into that place of glory now. So in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through him and through whom everyone exists, everything exists, that includes everyone, should make the author of their salvation, who is, of course, Jesus, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. I used to stumble over this verse. For a long time, I couldn't really grasp how Jesus, who lived in perfection and offered the perfect sacrifice of his life on the cross, how he could be made perfect. And then I began to understand that, you see, in his humanity as he hung on the cross, he took all of our imperfections upon himself. He didn't become imperfect, but he had to be made perfect by going through the will and the purpose of his Father in perfect and loving obedience. That was the agony that he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. But you see, his heart was, "Not my will, but yours be done." So he was actually perfect, of course, by nature. But he was made perfect, demonstrated his perfection by his perfect, loving submission to the will of his Father. But it's the reason why this was necessary that's significant for us. For in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. You see, God's purpose for you is for you to be perfect. No, nothing imperfect can go to heaven. There's no imperfection in heaven. So we had to be made perfect in order to qualify for heaven. Hello? And this is something that Jesus Christ has already effected. He has already effected your perfection. Are you still with me? That's why later on in this epistle in chapter 10, it says that we have been made perfect forever through what Jesus has done for us. But let's read on here, because there's a process that God wants us to understand. He wants to take us through tonight. So both the one who makes men holy, complete, perfect, blameless in the sight of God, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So he has, by what he has done, made you holy. Now, I think you're beginning probably to understand this, that the more you look at yourself, the more depressed you get, and the more frustrated you feel about yourself, that you fail so miserably to measure up to that perfection, to that holiness. You can, if you were foolish enough to examine yourself, see all kinds of inadequacies and failures and imperfections and sins and compromises. And the more you look at yourself in that way, the worse you feel about yourself. Which is why the scripture says here, well, don't do that. Look at Jesus. Look at what he has done. Look at what he has made you. But we see Jesus. We don't see ourselves in the natural. We see Jesus. And we see what Jesus has done for us. And we see what Jesus has made us. Because it's only by focusing on the truth of what he has done and what he has made us that actually we can be raised to the level of life that God intends for us. Because his purpose is not simply to impart his life to us, but to enable us to live that new life, to live lives worthy of our high calling. That's how Paul puts it when he's writing to the Ephesians. Live worthy of your high calling. It's a high calling because God's purpose is to lift us above ourselves, that we're not living in the self life of failure and despondency and despair, but we're living in Christ, the one who has overcome all the inadequacies of humanity and now lives and reigns in glory. And what we need to understand is that he has raised us up with him. So how has he done that? Well, let's see. So both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. You have become a son of God, a child of God. He is the first begotten, the only begotten Son of God. But as sons, as children, we are of the same family as the Son of God. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. This is amazing. The one who bore all our sins, our failures, our inadequacies, our sicknesses, now is not ashamed to call us brothers. I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am and the children God has given me. So since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Now you see, this is the key. Jesus came and identified with you completely in your failure, in your inadequacy, in your sinfulness. He didn't become sinful, but he did take your sin. He became sin, it says, on the cross. He took that place of sin in order to put that sin to death and to deliver us from the power of sin in our lives. So he shared in our humanity so that now we share in his divinity. He shared completely in our life so that he wants us to identify now completely with his life. So he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So the devil was conquered on the cross and freed those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. All God has done all of this in love, and there is no fear in love. The perfect love of God casts out fear. Even the fear of death, even the fear of what lies beyond death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. We are descendants of Abraham. There's no time to go into explanation of all that. But as a people of faith, we inherit all the promises given to Abraham. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers. I want you to see this. He had to be made like his brothers, like you, the sons and daughters of God. He had to be made like you in every way. Now, there's only one reason for that, so that you would be made like him in every way. I'll say that again. He had to be made like you in every way, so that you could be made like him in every way. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who have been tempted. Whatever you have been through, Jesus went through before you. There's nothing that you can experience that Jesus did not experience, probably in a more intensive way than ever you have. He knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to share the weakness of humanity. He knows what it's like to be tempted in every way. The only difference between him and us is he never sinned and yielded to the temptation. But he knows what it's like to be in that place where you and I are often in. In that sense, he is able to help us because he identified so completely with us. So for this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Therefore, holy brothers, he's talking to you. The word of God is being addressed to you. Holy brother, holy sister. Not just brothers of one another, but brothers of Christ. Sisters of Christ. Holy, because all in God's family are holy. The Father cannot give birth to anything that's unholy. When your mother and father gave birth to you, you were not holy. You had a fallen nature, a sinful nature. But when God gave you a new birth, he gave birth to a holy child of God. Not someone who had to gradually become holy, but someone who was made holy by virtue of their new birth. So you have to see yourself as God sees you, as Christ's holy brother or sister. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling. You have a heavenly calling, but that calling is not just to go to heaven, but it's to fulfill God's heavenly purpose here on earth, which is why Jesus taught us to pray, "May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. But we see Jesus. But we fix our thoughts on Jesus, not on ourselves, not even on one another. Because you can get just as depressed looking at others as you can looking at yourself. But no, fix your thoughts on Jesus, on what he has done, what he has accomplished. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. That's a command, not a suggestion. Hello? The apostle and high priest whom we confess, which means who we believe and declare to be our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. There's no time for us to go through everything, but if you look at verse 6, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. This one who faithfully fulfilled the purpose of God by going through the suffering and the death of the cross, that he might enter into the Holy of Holies. not with the offering of the blood of animals, but with the offering of his own blood. And therefore being able to open up the way for all who would follow him along that way through death into his glory. Not through physical death, but through the death of the cross that was symbolized by the smashing of the smaller plate on Sunday. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house. We are his heavenly temple here on earth. If we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, today, the Holy Spirit says, today, the devil says, tomorrow. The devil says, leave it to tomorrow, not today. Don't sacrifice your life today. Leave it to tomorrow. Don't let your life be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God today. Leave it to tomorrow. Don't believe God for your healing today. It'll come tomorrow. You don't have to obey what God says today. Leave it to tomorrow. The devil says tomorrow, but the Holy Spirit says today. That when God speaks to you today, it's for today, it's not for tomorrow. Tomorrow he will say what he wants to say tomorrow, because tomorrow will then be today. Are we getting this? The Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice. Now you're hearing his voice this evening, not because I'm speaking, but because I'm reading. Hallelujah. I'm reading from what he's saying in his word. So the Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice. You see, why do people put things off to tomorrow? Because they have hardened hearts. That's what the scripture says. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the days of rebellion. We do not have responsive, loving, obedient hearts when we put off what God is saying today. And the more you put off obeying what God says to you today, the harder your heart becomes, and the more difficult it is, therefore, to come to that place of loving obedience. So he's saying, today, see Jesus. Today, fix your mind on Jesus. And of course, because this is the eternal word of God, he will say the same thing tomorrow. Tomorrow he will say, call upon the name of the Lord. Tomorrow he will say, fix your eyes on Jesus. Tomorrow he will say, consider Jesus. Tomorrow he will say, set your mind on Jesus. Tomorrow he will say, do not harden your heart by disregarding what I say. The Holy Spirit has this great intention, this great purpose in fulfilling his remit from the Father and the Son. It's to make Jesus known to you so that Jesus can be known through you. But not the human Jesus, but the risen, ascended, glorified, majestic, reigning Christ. Now, you can hear me speak about him and read what the word says about him. But the only way that he can actually be revealed in your life is not by hearing or reading, but by his activity within you. And this is why Paul says the secret is this: Christ in you. That this risen, glorified, ascended Christ has to work from within you in order that you will become more and more like Jesus, that you will be transformed into his likeness, that God's plan and purpose for your life can be fulfilled. It's only by Christ working in you that Christ can be revealed through you. How far Christ is able to work in you is dependent upon you. There is no limit to what he wants to do. You are the only one who limits him. How much do you really want to give way to the risen Christ in your life? How much do you really want to reveal Jesus in the person that you are? How much are you really intent in fulfilling the plan and purpose that God has for you, the reason why he called you and chose you and saved you? It's too easy for us to live with a kind of compromise with which we satisfy ourselves, that we know the Lord, we love the Lord, we believe the Lord, we trust the Lord, while all the time he is wanting to do far more in us, to reveal far more of himself to us, and then to make that life, that love, that power radiate through our lives and pour out of us as rivers of living water. This is the purpose of Encounter Evenings, to open up our hearts and our lives to God and say, Lord, work in me. Work in me as the risen Christ. Work in me by the power of your Spirit, by the Spirit of the risen Christ. Work in me to change and transform me in every way into that likeness. Take me through that dying to self in order that I might encounter you, know you, love you, serve you in the Holy of Holies. Because the Holy of Holies is not a place for us to visit once a year. The Holy of Holies is open to us every day of the year. And God wants us to follow this way that Jesus has opened up. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Disciples are those who follow him in the way. They are the sheep that know the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him. They follow him in the way that he has gone. Beloved, there is no other way but through death to life, through that dying to self in order that more and more of his life might be revealed in us and through us. And of course, if we love the Lord and really want to see him glorified in our lives, then that's what we want. But it doesn't happen by looking at yourself and your failure and your inadequacy and getting all downhearted and frustrated. It only happens by fixing your eyes on Jesus, by considering him, by fixing your mind, your thoughts on him and what he has done. But of course, it has to be the desire of the heart. Lord, I want your will in my life. I want to be more like Jesus. I want you to take me into that place where your glory is not just revealed to me so I can say, oh, hallelujah, I've seen the glory of the Lord, but really that I might live a life that glorifies, honors, and praises you. Now, if you put that in its simplest terms, what it means is that you want to be holy because he's made you holy. You want to live a holy life, not just say, well, praise God, he is my sanctification, he is my holiness. No, I want to be the person that he's called me to be. I don't want to waste the sacrifice of his blood. I don't want just to reduce it as a ticket to heaven. Because Jesus went through all of that and he took me to the cross and he took you to the cross so that we could live the life of his heavenly kingdom here on earth. Now, implicit in all of this is the recognition that Jesus went along that way, not for himself, but for others, for all those who would be saved. And what you have to understand is that we only truly follow him in that way, not for ourselves, but for all those who are going to be blessed through us, whose lives are going to be touched. We have a hunger for souls as we walk on them that way, because if we follow Jesus, you see, that's what his motivation was, a hunger for souls to be saved, a hunger for heaven to be peopled by the people of God. We want our lives to be used in a whole variety of ways because God uses different people in different ways. But we all want to be used to impact the life of others. We're not walking on this way for our own salvation. We have that salvation, but Jesus says, walk on this way for the benefit of all the others that I've called you to touch with my love, with my life, with my power, with my healing, with my grace, with my mercy. So that rivers of living water are pouring out of you. Because you see, unless we have that motivation, we're not following Jesus. We might think we're following Jesus, but we're not following Jesus. This was his motivation in walking in that way. And this has to be the motivation of all who follow him on that way. A passion to see others coming to know Christ. A passion to be used by him to touch the lives of other people with his love, with his life, with his power. We're not here for ourselves. The church doesn't exist for its members, but for all those that are not its members. We need to see this place full every Sunday. And we need to see more and more unsaved people being drawn by the light of Christ that's shining out of the lives of his people here. But you see, while we're having services, people don't see the light. They only see the light of Christ shining out of our lives wherever we happen to be interacting with people. But can you see, the more like Christ we become, the more this whole process is taking place in our lives, the more of his light will shine out of our lives. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You see, they can see how you give glory to the Father in heaven because of the light that shines out of your life. And then they want to give glory to the Father in heaven. Becomes contagious. You become contagious. Hallelujah. Are we getting this? I'm talking to you about the purpose of God. I mean, either we live for his purpose or we may as well go and find something else to do with the rest of our lives. So, verse 12, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. but encourage one another daily. This is why we're here. This is why we meet together. This is why we encounter him together and not just alone, because we need to encourage one another. Come on, we're all in this together. We're going to follow Christ together. We're not walking lone, solitary lives along the way, but we're progressing together as a fellowship of believers. But encourage one another daily. Daily, not just every Sunday, but daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. Then we go into chapter 4, which speaks about that rest of faith. If we just move on, just as we finish, to verse 14 of chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens. Remember, the Jewish concept of heaven is in layers, and God is in the highest heaven. Jesus has gone through the heavens to the highest heaven, which is why when he entered Jerusalem, people said, "Glory to God in the highest." He is in the highest heaven. He has opened up the way for us to reign with him in glory in the highest heaven. Hallelujah. We belong to the highest heaven because we belong to him. Never mind what goes on in the lower stratas. We're bound for the highest. So therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows all about our weaknesses. Just as we read earlier, he knows all about our temptations. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to live for 33 years in the weakness of humanity. He knows all that. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy for all of our failure to really be the holy people he's called us to be and find grace to help us in our time of need. All the grace that we need, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So, beloved, it's all a matter of the heart, isn't it? Why are you a Christian? I don't ask if you're a Christian. I say, why are you a Christian? Why are you here tonight? Why are you here Sunday by Sunday? What's your reason? Is your reason the same as God's purpose? That he wants fellowship as the holy God with his holy children. Because he wants to bless them, anoint them, work in them, transform them, and equip them for his purposes here on earth. Death to self, life in Christ. So that we as the people of God may bear much fruit for the glory of God. So many other lives be touched, changed, transformed, healed, saved by the life of Christ in and through us. Is that why you're here? Are you here because you want to follow Jesus along the way that he went. Because let me tell you, there is no other way. Which is why Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him die to that life of self, to living for himself. Take up his cross. That's the sacrifice. You go through that holy place of sacrifice into the Holy of Holies and encounter him in his majestic glory. Is that why you're here? Is that your desire? Is that your longing? See, is your passion for Jesus? Is your longing for Jesus? Not for yourself, but for Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to love you, Jesus. I want to meet with you, Jesus. I want you to be glorified, Jesus. Is that why you're here? Is that why you're a Christian? To live for Jesus. Because if that is not your purpose, you have not yet understood what it means to be a Christian. Christian is one who loves Jesus and follows him in the way that he went, through death to self and into his glory. Today, today, not tomorrow, today. So God says to all of us, this is my purpose for you today. Brother, sister, I came and shared your life so that now you live my life. That's a Christian. Do you want to live as a Christian? Or just call yourself a Christian? God says to his people, Old Testament and New Testament, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be holy in all you do. Peter said that. That fisherman who was always getting things wrong, but who was a transformed character when it came to the Acts of the Apostles because of the anointing of the Spirit in his life. Be holy in all you do. Paul says, aim for perfection, aim for godliness, because you want to be like Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Is this too much? No. This is God's purpose for every single born-again believer. Every single one. Never mind whether anybody else lives like this or not. That's totally irrelevant. You don't want to reduce your discipleship to the level of anybody else. That's no excuse when God says, today, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Because if you do, you'll serve Satan, who says, put it off till tomorrow. Today. Today. So, beloved, we're going to meet with Jesus now. He has opened up the way. What will he do in your heart? I don't know. It all depends on how open your heart is to him. It all depends how hungry you are for more of him. It all depends upon how much you really desire to love him. It all depends upon whether you really want his will in your life or not. Because he doesn't look upon the outward appearance, he looks upon our hearts. But I can tell you with absolute assurance that God will respond to whatever he sees in your heart. Not just words you speak off the top of your head, but whatever he sees in your heart, he will respond to. You all look so serious. And I've just put before you the most joyful message you could ever hear. Really. Really. I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be able to follow Jesus in the way to eternal glory. And to joy everlasting. Huh? See, this is why characters like Paul says, rejoice always. If you've got your eyes on Jesus, you'll rejoice. You can't have your eyes on Jesus and not rejoice. You only stop rejoicing when you start looking at yourself or looking at your circumstances. But while your eyes are upon him, you rejoice. And your heart is full of praise for all that he has done and made possible. This is the most wonderful message you could ever hear. Because it's all made possible, not by anything we can do, but all by the mercy and the grace of God. It's all a finished work. He's done it. He says the way is already there. It's already prepared. All you have to do is walk on it. All you have to do is just come with Jesus. Shall we all stand? Hallelujah. I don't think the next two nights will need so much teaching, much more encounter with him, but we've got to understand how God wants to meet with us. We're not here just to have experiences, but to see the purpose of God furthered in our lives. Can you just lift your hands and your heart and your eyes to heaven now? But we see Jesus. So look at him. In whatever way you can do that, just look at him. Consider him, the scripture says. Consider him, not yourself. Don't look at yourself and your feelings and your fears and your inadequacy and your failure. Look at him. Look at him. Understand what he's saying to you. Brother, sister, he's calling you. Brother, sister, his brother, his sister, brother, sister. I came for you. I shared your humanity. I shared your weakness. I was tempted in every way that you've been tempted. I didn't come to condemn you. I didn't come to judge you. I came to save you. I came to make you a holy child of God, a member of my holy family. Can you thank him?
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
I came for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I came for you.
Thank you,
Lord. I came for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank him that he came for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
He came for you. Hallelujah. Then he says to you, I died for you. I died for you. So great was my love for you, that I died for you. I sacrificed my sinless life for you. Can you thank him? Then he says, I took you with me to the cross. You were crucified with me. You died with me. When I died, you died. Can you thank him? Can you thank him? He didn't just take sin to the cross. He took the sinner to the cross. And he put the sinner to death. The sinner that you were has been put to death. Can you praise him for that? Can you thank him for that? So the scripture says, you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, today, 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 you have died and your life is now, today, hidden with Christ in God. In the highest heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then Jesus says, when I was raised up, you were raised up in me. That has happened. When I rose, you rose. You were crucified with me. You were raised with me to a new life. Hallelujah. 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 Can you thank Him that you live in the risen Christ? You live in the risen Christ. You live in the risen Christ. Hallelujah. So the Lord says to you, nobody unholy can live in me. Only those who have been made holy. Hallelujah. Made holy by that sacrifice. Can you thank Him that He has made you holy? He has made you blameless before Him in His sight, as we heard on Sunday. Come on, thank Him, praise Him. You're His holy brother, His holy sister. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Can you praise Him that your unholy life is behind you? Your unholy life is behind you. What stretches out ahead of you is the way that you're going to walk with Jesus, made one with Him in His holiness. Hallelujah. In His righteousness, in His power, in His glory. Come on, thank Him. He's opened up the way for you. You pass through the open curtain. Hallelujah. Through that place of death to self, through that place of sacrifice, into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Not in Jerusalem, but in heaven. Hallelujah. Seated with Him in the highest heaven. Seated with Him in the highest place. Hallelujah. Seated with Him in glory. Can you praise Him? Can you praise Him? Can you see Jesus reigning in glory? Can you see Jesus reigning in glory? Can you see Jesus? Can you fix your eyes on Jesus? Not on the human Jesus, but on the living, reigning, glorified Christ. Can you see yourself in Him? Can you believe? Can you dare to believe what the Word of God says about you? That He has made you perfect forever. Hallelujah. That you are one with Him in His risen, ascended, glorified life. Can you praise Him? Can you praise Him for that? I am who you say I am, Lord, because I believe that you are who you say you are. Hallelujah. 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 Can you praise Him? Can you really praise Him? Can you dare to believe it? Can you dare to believe what He has done for you? Can you dare to believe it? Can you dare to believe it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. There needs just to be a river of praise now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Paparazandaria leto bakalazandaria leto bakalazandama. Basandaria lero pa kala sandaria lero pa kala zita ba. Oh, whenever you look at yourself, you see weakness. Whenever you look at Jesus, you see glory. Which is better, to look at weakness or to look at glory? When you look at yourself, you see failure. When you look at Jesus, you see victory. When you look at yourself, you see need. When you look at Jesus, you see provision. You can look at yourself and see sickness. When you look at him, you see healing and deliverance. Hallelujah. 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 Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's see Jesus. Let's consider him. Hallelujah. 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 Pora la basadabaria leto ba kalazandaria leto ba. Basadabaria leto ba kalazandaria leto ba kalazidri sanduma. Oh, papara sadabaria leto ba kalazanduma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, now then, what are you going to pray? What is your desire? Is your desire to be more like him? See, the more like him, the more fruit in your life. The more he can use you. The more his life can flow through you. He has made you one with him. So what now is the desire of your heart? Can you pray and say to him, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be transformed into your likeness with ever increasing glory. I want you to work whatever you need to do in my heart so that more and more of Jesus will be revealed in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you can work through me in your love, in your power, through your grace and your mercy. I want to be more like you. I want to live up to my high calling. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to walk along that way every day as your disciple. Can you say, Lord, when I hear your voice today, I won't harden my heart against what you say, but as I read your word and as I listen to your spirit, I want to put your word into effect today. Whenever I hear your voice, whenever I read your word, thank you. It's always for today. I want to obey your word and not put off to tomorrow what can be done today. Hallelujah. I'm not going to serve the enemy by putting things off to tomorrow, by believing it's always for tomorrow. No, no. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of your spirit. Today is the day of your anointing. Today is the day when I encounter you and you meet with me in your word and by your spirit. It's always today. Today. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for what you're working in my heart today. Now just talk to him. Pour out your heart to him. Tell him what you want him to work in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I want more of you, Lord. I want to know you better. I want to draw nearer to you. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I want my love for you to increase. Yes, I do love you, Lord, but I want to love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. The more I look at you, the more I fall in love with you. The more I understand you, the greater my love for you. Oh, Jesus, wonderful Lord, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. You see, he'll answer the prayer of your heart. This is where different things will be happening in different people according to what you're crying out from your heart, to what you're believing in your heart. Come on, engage your heart with the heart of Jesus now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you that when I was born again, you gave me a new heart, put a new spirit within me. Hallelujah. Thank you that you took the old heart that was built around self out. Hallelujah. And you put a new heart to love you, a new heart to serve you, a new heart to glorify you, a new heart to honor you, a new heart to praise you, a new heart to obey you, a new heart just to love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, for my new heart. Thank you, Jesus. You renew, you revive my heart tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you. You purify and cleanse my heart afresh through that sacrifice that you made for me on the cross. Yes, Lord. Thank you for a clean heart. Come on. You're going to go home tonight with a clean heart. With a clean heart. Purified, washed by the blood of the Lamb that we were praising earlier. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're not going to go to bed with a dirty heart tonight. Hallelujah. You're going to bed with a clean heart, with a pure heart, with a holy heart. Come on, come on, come on, come on. A heart after the heart of God. A heart after the heart of God. Paratabaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sita di santuma. Bazandaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sinuma. Bazandaria leto bakala sita di santuma. Oh, what a wonderful Lord. Brother, sister. He calls you brother. He calls you brother. He calls you sister. My family. You remember how Jesus redefined family? He pointed to his disciples and said, here is my brother, my sister, my mother. Those who do the will of God, they are my brother, my sister, my mother. Hallelujah. Oh, they're family, family. We're family. We're family with Jesus. We're family with Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We're family with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him that you're a believer, that you believe what he says. You believe the word of God. You believe he is who he is, and you believe you are who you are in him. Amen. Is the joy beginning to rise up within you now? Are you beginning to believe it? Because you see, when you believe it, the joy begins to rise up within you. You're just amazed at the wonder of it all. You're amazed at the wonder of it all. And you just begin to rejoice and you begin to praise him. Lord, it's just so wonderful. It's just so wonderful. It's just so amazing. It's so amazing, Lord. I just rejoice in you. I praise you. I magnify your name. Oh, come on, let that joy out. Let that joy be expressed. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Come on, let that joy bubble up within you. Let that joy pour out of you now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. Today you hear his voice. Today it's all true. Today you don't have to wait for tomorrow. It's true today. Hallelujah. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. It's all true today. You've heard his voice today. You're his brother today, his sister today. He's your brother today. Hallelujah. You're his family today. You're his holy one today. Come on, let heaven know you're happy. Let heaven know you're happy. Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Now, come on, just make this decision. I'm not going to listen to the devil's lies anymore. I'm not going to listen to his lying, his accusations, his condemning thoughts. I'm not going to play his game by looking at myself and feeling that I'm such a dreadful, terrible failure. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm not going to listen to the devil who wants me to keep looking at myself. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit who says, see Jesus. The Holy Spirit says, see Jesus. The Holy Spirit says, but we see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ora taparia leto bakalazandaria leto bakalazanduma. Oh, papara zadabaria leto bakalazandaria leto ba. Bazandaria leto bakalazin. Things have got to be different after tonight, haven't they? They've just got to be different. They've just got to be different. They can't go on being the same. They cannot go on being the same. Hallelujah. Because now you're living in the truth more than you were. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit, you see, guides us into all the truth. And he said, there you are. This is what I've done. This is the way I've opened up for you. Now you just follow me on that way every day. Every day, just follow me on that way. Just walk on that way with me. It's the highway of holiness. No demon, no devil can get up on that way. Scripture makes that clear. You're safe, you're secure on that way. Hallelujah. The highway of holiness through the holy place into the holy of holies. Hallelujah. What a God. Can you see there's nothing left for us to do except to live in the good of what he's done? We don't have to do anything except believe it and live in the good of it. And then he will work through our lives and show us what we are to do in order to be fruitful for his glory. It's so simple, really, isn't it? I mean, come on. God has made it simple because this is the truth for the simplest of people. So why make it more complicated? You only make it more complicated when you look at yourself. But when you look at Jesus, you look at the Word, you listen to the Spirit, you see what God has done. It's so simple. So simple. Well, he called me, he chose me, took me to the cross. I've been crucified with him. I've been raised to a new life. He's raised me up with him. I'm seated with him in glory. He's filled me with his Holy Spirit. He's given me authority over all the power of the evil one. It's so simple. He's done it all. Now I'm living in heavenly places with him. Hallelujah. Everything has been put beneath his feet, so everything is beneath my feet. So simple, really, isn't it? So simple when you believe it. So simple when you believe it. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't feel it. You're not supposed to feel it. You're supposed to believe it, not feel it. You're supposed to believe it. It's not a feeling. The truth isn't a feeling. The truth is what Christ has done. The truth is who you are. Hallelujah. Feelings are the most unreliable part of you. But the word of God is truth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. Come on, I think we need to finish on the note of glory, don't you? Come on, let's really glorify him. Oh, praise you, Jesus. 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 Now, you see, it works like this. You go to sleep as a holy child of God tonight. When you wake up in the morning and you put your feet on the floor as you get out of bed, a holy child of God is getting up. And those feet are going to walk with the Lord through tomorrow. But tomorrow will then be today. Hallelujah. And all that we've read in the scripture will be true for you tomorrow, which is then today. And so you will walk in all this glorious truth tomorrow. And you will come back tomorrow evening and encounter the one who has opened up the way for you. And he will impact you more and more and more with his word and with his spirit, with the truth, and more transformation in your life tomorrow. Did somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. I think we need a great shout of praise to thank God. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Okay, those of us, the students and the team will be meeting at the college at 8 o'clock. If anybody else is able to come, they're happy, they're very welcome to be there, because we should be meeting with God, Rafi, in the morning. But we all have the opportunity of being here. Encourage others to come with you. Don't send them in your place. Bring them with you tomorrow. Because you see, every believer needs the truth and to be living in the freedom that the truth gives. If you continue in my word, you will be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Just turn to at least four people and say, amazingly, Jesus is my brother, and he's your brother too.